Okay, so Strap was just telling us a little bit about Elevate. And the day for the $29 sign-up registration deadline is tomorrow. If you want to go for $29, you have to sign up by tomorrow. Otherwise, the price goes up to $39, which obviously you can still come, but you just will have to come for $10 more. So we want you to sign up, and we want you to sign up tonight. Now, most likely, you didn't bring an extra 30 bucks with you tonight. So that's okay. We're going to have a table outside. You can sign up and bring your money in tomorrow. If you sign up tonight, you don't have your money with you, just bring your money back in tomorrow so that we can get you a ticket for Elevate. And we have a video that's going to tell you a little bit more about it.
Oh my gosh, this is just overwhelming.
The conference has been incredible.
The theme that you can be a missionary in your workplace is really cool.
Talking about relevant things to our life,
you see that everyone is spiritually hungry there.
It will bring you to a higher level of Christianity, a wealth of knowledge, wealth of resources.
It's huge and it's overwhelming.
It will literally ignite you and change your life.
Oh my gosh, we have to go to this conference.
The speakers were just super powerful.
Passionate and enthusiastic.
Name after name of people that's respected in their industry.
Kirk Cameron, he really tore it up. Just hammering away, you've got to take Jesus into the culture.
And they all came across with such strong messages.
And of leading from a different perspective.
The tribe, that was really cool because they really taught everyone a lesson that all you need is your heart.
Praise and worship was awesome.
It's an amazing experience.
It's like listening to Dave Matthews Band.
With the breakout session, it allows people to go into specialized areas.
The issues that we're facing, the front lines of politics and the front lines of Hollywood.
You know, I'd never dreamed that I'd been able to talk to somebody right off television.
It's exciting to see the lives touched over this weekend.
My generation, for the first time, really seeing the light.
That everyone that spoke was spirit-led.
They taught me what love is all about. It was just phenomenal. I can't even really put it into words.
It's powerful and it's moving.
It really challenged me to say, God, I love you and I want to give you everything, even though it might cost me.
It's blowing my mind, seriously.
I would rave about it to anyone.
I'm a better person as a result. There's a revolution taking place, something that's really needed everywhere. Don't question it, just go. There's going to be a movement that's going to take place with or without you.
You gotta go.
Put that stick down. You'll poke an eye out. Change your underwear every day. You never know when you'll be in an accident. Stop making that face. It could freeze like that. Are you sitting in the ER with dirty underwear, one eye, and a frozen face? You need help. You need survivor skills. Show up at Fusion. Tuesday at 8. Meet you.
Our own radio announcer, Cole Pipkin. Fusion is coming, and you'll be hearing more about that in the next couple of weeks. It starts September 6th for freshmen. So now I think we might have all of our bugs worked out, hopefully. We're going to try this with John Strapazon again.
All right. Well, great. I'm glad to be here with you guys, and I'm excited to be in Oklahoma. Excited about what God is doing in the lives of students in Oklahoma and lives of students all across the country. I want to talk to you about something really special tonight. In the movie Dead Poets Society, you remember that from several years ago with Robin Williams? You know, that guy's crazy. But in the movie, do you remember one of the scenes when it's all-boys school, and at the beginning of the movie when he first met his first class, he took them from his room into the trophy room, in that hallway where all those trophies were in there, and had the pictures of all of the guys who had, you know, were great athletes. And he talked about the word carpe diem, which means seize the day. And he told the guys about the guys who were in the pictures. And he said, all of these guys at one time were your age. And they've gone before you now. And if you'll listen closely, they'll whisper their legacy to you. And he had them lean in, as you'll know, and then he whispered behind them, carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your life extraordinary. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray that as I speak tonight, Lord, that you would teach, that you would speak. God, that you'd make things clear to us. Lord, if there are those here tonight who have never heard your voice before, I pray that they would hear you. And those who are here who have heard from you before, God, I pray that you'd have a word for them as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd fill this place with your presence and you would speak tonight. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Make your life extraordinary. Make your life something. And knowing Jesus Christ, you can cooperate with him and have a spectacular life. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians, if you have your Bible, is kind of to the right of the middle of the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5. Make your life extraordinary. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 15 through 17. If you're here tonight and you've never come into personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I'm really excited that you're here. Because you see, as a freshman in college, that's when I gave my life to God. And God changed my life forever. I wasn't looking for God, but he found me. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Let's look at that again. Let me read that again. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, let's take those three verses and let's break those down one at a time. Let's kind of unpack those one at a time. In verse 15, he's talking about here, he says, "Be very careful then how you live." And what he's saying, pay attention to how you spend your life. You see, one day your life will be spent. You don't know how much of life you really have. And one day it will be spent. And he's saying, pay attention to this. You want to spend your life on something important. And he says, just be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. You want to seize your life and take hold of it. Don't be haphazard about it or unwise. And the unwise here refers to not being careful or wasting it, or maybe just not realizing how valuable your time really is. Then let's look at verse 16. He says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, every day is valuable and stuffed full, chock full of opportunities. Some days have more opportunities than others, but every day has some opportunities in it. And then he goes on and he says, you want to make sure that you make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, what does that mean, the days are evil? Well, I don't think, you know, daytime is bad and nighttime is good. There's something here that's very important that you want to get a hold of, because the days are evil. Now, at least one thought on this is the idea that the days just keep on coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. You know, last night when I went to bed, I never thought about not waking up today. Did you? And I'm not thinking about that when I go to bed tonight. I'm not going to be panicked about not getting up tomorrow. In fact, how many of you, when you were a little kid, your parents taught you that, you know, little prayer? "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake." Have you thought about this? And we're teaching this to little kids. "I pray the Lord my soul to take." It's a wonder kids ever go to sleep. But you know, we never think about not waking up. And I think the reason the days are evil is because of how we think about them. We think because we have today, we're going to have tomorrow. And we think because we have tomorrow, we'll have next week. And we think because we're going to have next week, we'll have next month and next year and the year after that. And so we don't treat them as individually valuable. We don't treat them as important as they really are. You know, there's not any situation, any real, you know, funerals. I've done a few funerals and nobody ever said, "Well, they had enough time." You know, everybody dies too soon. Now, I know some are more tragic than others because maybe they die when they're young. But many of you have lost grandparents, and they died too soon. But you see, we treat life as if it will never end. And therefore, we squander our time. I hear people say, "What are you doing today?" "I'm just hanging out. Just killing time." Well, see, God would tell us that time is more important than that. And you need to make the... I know we need to chill some, okay? But your whole life doesn't need about chilling. I know students are just chilling through life. And they wonder why nothing happens. You see, you've got to grasp your life and take hold of it. You want to seize the day. You want to make your life extraordinary. Because, see, the days are evil in the sense that because you got so many of them, you think you're going to have more of them. I never planned to get this old. I don't really know how it happened. But I tell you, you hang around long enough, you get old. It just happens. And one day, you will not be in this place anymore. Somebody's saying, boy, I can't wait for that. But you know, when I look back on college, those were some of the happiest days of my life. But were they hard? Were they uncomfortable at times? You bet. But looking back, they were incredible. I hear students say, I just can't wait to get out of here. Where are you going? You know, and you don't want to be so busy looking there that you miss what's happening right now. The days are evil and they'll trick you. They'll trick you. You know, guys, if there's a girl you want to spend a little time with, get after it. She might transfer to another school. You never know. You might flunk out. And ladies, if there's a guy that you'd like to spend a little time with, you might want to let him know that somehow. Because as guys, we're pretty dumb. We're just dumb, man. No offense, guys, but I are one of those. And what I'm trying to say here, let me move on. I'm meddling here. Then let's look at verse 17. He says, therefore, and whenever you see therefore, I hesitate to say this, but you need to see what it's there for. He's saying, because I've said all this other, look up. You know, whenever you hear, whenever you see therefore, you want to tune into what's coming next because it's important. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. He says, do not be foolish. He says that because it's possible to be foolish. Even if you know Jesus today, it's possible for you to squander your life. Christians do it all the time. They make bad choices all the time. A lot of Christians' lives are on, they're on the trash dump along with other people. And it's possible for you to waste your life. Now you got to get this down. This whole deal on going to heaven, that's secured when you come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He took care of that for you. And when you come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ by faith in Him, heaven's taken care of. Don't hang out at that one all the time. Nail that down. If you haven't nailed that one down, get somebody to help you nail that one down. Find out where you stand with God. But when you get that nailed down, then you've got to decide what you do with your life, how your life's going to be spent, what you're going to spend it on. You will spend it on something. The key is, are you really going to be in charge of what you spend it on? You see, he says it's possible for you and I to squander our life and to miss God's best. You see, he says, therefore, don't be foolish. You make the most of every opportunity. The days are evil. Watch out for them. They'll fool you, and be careful, and don't be stupid about this, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's possible for you to miss God's will if you're not paying attention. You've got to pay attention. Now, what causes us? Let's talk about opportunities for a minute. Now, opportunities, they've got a shelf life. They have an expiration date on them. You know, one of the scariest things is you get your cereal together. You know, you got your Captain Crunch or your Lucky Charms, whatever you like, or Raisin Bran, Grape Nuts. What? Count Chocula. I don't know. Whatever it is that you like. But you got your bowl. Hang with me. Stay with me. Come back. You got your bowl sitting there, and you go to the refrigerator, and you pull the milk out, and it expires today. And you're thinking, now, does this mean it expired an hour ago? Or it expires this afternoon? And who decided on this expiration thing anyway? Are you like me when I go to the store, I get the milk from the back? Anybody else? We're all doing that. They got to be fooling us somehow. You know, I get it from the back, get the longest expiration date. And you know, it's kind of scary to drink milk on the day it's expiring. But have you ever drank milk a day after it expired? That's the scariest thing in the universe. I'm not touching that. Have you ever got the mouthful of curds? Yeah, yeah. And you know, hey, opportunities have an expiration date on them. You see, opportunities have a shelf life. They're not there forever. You won't be at OU forever. Opportunities cry, now! Take me now! Get me now! Because it's going to expire. It's got a shelf life. You've got to pay attention here. You've got to seize it before it expires. You've got to seize the day. You've got to seize the moment. In 1963, at the National Prayer Conference, Billy Graham was speaking that day, and John F. Kennedy was in the audience. And after it was over, he and JFK were friends. And after it was over, JFK said, "Walk with me, Billy, will you?" And so they walked down this hall together. And this is a story that Billy Graham tells in his biography. And I believe it's called Just As I Am. And he's walking down the hall with him. And he said, "Billy, would you ride with me today? I have some things I want to talk to you about, some questions that I have." Well, Billy didn't feel well. He had the flu. And it was a cold day, and he'd forgotten to bring his coat. And he said to him, "You know, could we do it? I don't feel really good today. Could we do it another time?" And JFK, he said, "Sure, we'll do it another time." He closed the door to his limousine. He drove away, and next week he went to Dallas. And you know the rest of the story. And Billy Graham in his book bemoans the missed opportunity. What were the questions that JFK had? What an opportunity that was missed. Now, what causes us to miss opportunities? Now, this isn't an exhaustive list, but it's a few that I think you'll identify with. What causes us to not seize the day, to miss the opportunities that come our way? I think the first one is this, and that's a fear of failure. We're so afraid to fail that we won't risk success. "Oh, I tried that before. I ran for student council in high school. I'm not doing that again. You know, I tried out for the ball team and I got cut. I'm out of that deal." You know? And because we failed at some point in our life, we're so afraid now that there are things that will come our way and we're afraid to reach for them because we're just afraid that we'll fail. And our lives are being run by fear of failure. That you're just afraid. Yeah, I'm afraid to show attention to that person. They might reject me. I'm afraid to ask that person to do something with me. They might reject me. And because we're so afraid, we never go for the things that we want in life. Opportunities just stroll right on by us because we're afraid to fail. And because we're afraid to fail, we never risk being successful. Some of you aren't even in the major that you really want to do because you're afraid if you'll try it, you'll fail. But let me tell you something that's worse than failure. It's regret. Regret is terrible. So that's the first one. The second one is this. The second one is laziness. Some of us just have the tomorrow attitude. And I don't want to do today what I can put off till tomorrow. And you know, procrastination, guys, is the graveyard of opportunities. Your life is just run by laziness. You're too lazy to do it. You're too lazy to try. And your life is just you just miss stuff because you're asleep. Laziness. Here's the third one. Third one is indecision. Indecision, indecisiveness. Now, one of the things that you need to know is this. Not deciding is deciding. Hello? When you decide not to decide, you have decided. And there's going to be consequences either way. Why not decide? Because have you ever gone, you know, you get in the car and you go out to eat? Where are we going? I don't care. You know, and where is it written that the driver has to always decide? I miss that one. But you know what? People say, "I don't care." And then when you get to some place, they go, I didn't want to go here. Has that ever happened to anybody? You know, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you're indecisive, you're going to miss some stuff. You're going to miss it because you're afraid to decide. But when you don't decide, you have decided. And then some of you let other people decide as if they have all knowledge. They're just like you. Your students would come to me for counseling sometimes and ask me about stuff, and I would tell them some things. And I'd say, now, wait a minute now. I said, if you decide to do that, you decided to do it. So I don't want them coming back and say, John told me to do that. You know, somehow, what is it about us thinking that another person knows more than we do? Especially when they're our peers. I think there's such a fear of failure in us that if we have somebody else decide that somehow if it doesn't work out right, we can go, they decided that, I didn't. But here's the problem with it. And I would tell them this, I'd say, now look, if you decide to do that, you decided to do it. Now, the advice I gave you may be worth what you paid for it, which was nothing. But I said, if you decided to do it, you decided to do it. Now, here's the key. Whether you decide or you let somebody else decide, you will eat of the consequences. Did you know that? You still have the consequences. Watch out for indecision. To not decide is to decide. Here's another one. Busyness. Some of you are just so busy, you got your life so planned, you just walk right by stuff. Great stuff, because you're busy. Here's a little fun thing. If Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. That's kind of the flip side of that. If he can't make you bad, he'll just make you busy. So you miss God's stuff because you're just so busy. I mean, you look at your schedule and you are booked up 24 hours a day. And you're just so busy. There's no room. Here's another one. Complacency. I'm happy like I am. Don't mess with me. I got my life like I want it. You don't want anything to change. You're happy with things are right now. And you're going to miss some of the great opportunities in life because you're just complacent. Some of you have a lack of urgency in your life. You think that things will come around again. Well, I'll get that next time. Yeah, next time that's offered, I'll do that. And you don't live with any urgency realizing that some things don't ever come back again. Some things are a one-time offer. Now watch the salesmen that call you with that. Don't buy that deal. But some things in life, they just don't come back. And some of you have an attitude that I'll catch that one on the second time around, and it never comes back. With a lack of urgency. And then some of you've got a non-committal attitude. You're leaving all of your options open. I'm just cruising along. I'm not committed to anything, thank you. Well, let me tell you something. The successful people in the world did not have that attitude. If you're going to be successful at something, you have to commit to something. It's as important what you say no to as what you say yes to. A person who's an Olympic diver committed to being a diver. Did you know that? The people who've been really successful have committed to something and got after it. There are tremendous benefits that come with committing. Mediocrity comes by leaving all of your options. And for a while you've got to leave options open, but then there needs to come a time where you hone in on something and really grab that thing. And then the last one is this. One of the reasons we don't grab opportunities is because sometimes they just look like interruptions. They look like interruptions. Somebody calls. Something's offered in a class. Something comes up. But you're already busy. You're already doing something. And they have a tendency sometimes to just look like interruptions in your life. Let me ask you a question. Are you so programmed that God can't interrupt you? I mean, if God said, yoo-hoo, hello, I'm busy. I'm busy doing God stuff. God, don't bother me. I'm busy doing your stuff. You know, one of the things you have to watch out for in life is falling in love with God's stuff and not falling in love with Him. You know that, don't you? Is falling in love with God's ways and not falling in love with God. Falling in love with God's ways and telling God this is the way He has to do it always. Hey, God, this is the way you did it before. This is the way you got to keep doing it. And if God says, no, I want to do it this different way, you say, no, that's what the Pharisees did. But we can be just like that. Lots of times, opportunities, they kind of look like interruptions. Now, how do we seize opportunities? You see, He says to grab every opportunity, to watch out the days are evil, to live your life on purpose, not by accident. How do we grab opportunities? Here's some thoughts. The first one is to risk failure. Give yourself the opportunity to succeed. Let me tell you this. Michael Jordan, arguably the best basketball player ever. Did you know that in his life, he missed 26 game-winning shots? I mean, the game came down to Michael having the ball, and he blew it. In fact, he said, I missed 9,000 shots in my career. We don't remember that. If you're a basketball fan, all you remember is when he finished off the Utah Jazz from the top of the key. He hit that swish and kept his hand in the air. That's all you remember. You don't remember the 26 he missed. And Michael said this. He said, I have succeeded. Let me see here. He says, the reason I've succeeded is because I have failed so much. You got to give your a chance. You got to risk failure in order to succeed. Herb Brooks, who was the coach of maybe the greatest Olympic win in USA history, when his 1980 hockey team defeated the Russians who'd beaten the NHL teams. It was an impossible task. But in the locker room before the game, he said, great moments come from great opportunities. If you're going to grab opportunities, you've got to be willing to risk failure, to give yourself the chance to succeed. And then, here's the second one. If you're going to seize opportunities, you've got to be prepared to act. Life is short. Your time here in college is short. Right now it seems like it's a long time to you, but when you look back on it, it's going to be short. You've got to act now. You've got to grab it now. You've got to be prepared to act. You've got to look for opportunities to grow, to honor God. Now, all days are not created equal. That's one of the problems that we have. We think all days are the same. They're not the same. Somebody says, hey, would you come to my wedding? Oh, you know, I'm busy. I'll catch your next one. You know, I'm graduating. Would you come? I'll come the next time you graduate. You know, I'm making a silly thing here, but all days are not created equal. Some days are kind of bland, and they're kind of like they were before, but there are other days that come along, and unless you're prepared to act, you will miss them. You will miss them because you've got this just hanging out attitude. Life's too short. You've got to plan to act. You've got to be a person who's ready to see what God has and act. Seize those opportunities. Then you've got to confront. You've got to fight laziness. Somebody said that the luckiest people in the world are usually those who've worked the hardest. You've got to fight laziness. Some of you got to get up to go to class. Hello? They don't give you a degree if you don't go to class. Did you figure that one out yet? Some of you got to work on that. But it starts with an attitude of fighting laziness. I'm not going to let laziness control my life. I'm not going to let that run me. And here's another one. Some of you you've got to wake up to what's going around you. Life is not static. It's dynamic. It's changing. It's moving. It's not inactive. It's active. Things are changing. They're moving. Opportunities are coming all the time. And you've got to wake up to what's going on around you. Don't sleepwalk through your time here at OU. Open up your eyes. And then finally, you've got to depend on God. Put Him on the job in your life. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to help you see the opportunities. Ask Him to help you risk. Ask Him to help you to not be a lazy person. Ask Him to help you get out of bed. Ask Him to help you have eyes to see things. Put Him on the job in your life. He wants to do that. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to open up life for you. Depend on Him and put Him on the job. You want to make your life extraordinary. Billy Graham had another opportunity. John F. Kennedy and Carolyn Bessette had gotten married. And on the way back from their honeymoon, they had called Billy and they wanted to interview him for the magazine that JFK Jr. was in charge of, George. And they wanted to talk with him about some questions his dad had had. Billy didn't miss that opportunity. And it was shortly thereafter that JFK and Carolyn Bessette took that fateful flight and never returned. He got that one. And some of you, all you're thinking about now is the ones you've missed. Don't focus on those or you'll miss the next one. Just plan on grabbing the next one. Don't fret over the past. Now, guys, you will never live this year over again. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is not the pregame activities. This is the real game. There are real opportunities available to you right now. Fusion is a great opportunity. Don't think you'll do that again next year. Grab it! Seize it! The Bible studies, the discipleship groups, Vespers, Elevate. Grab these things because you will never have these days over again. Be a great student. Give it all you got because you'll never live this time again. You know, one of the cool things about God is you can always begin again. You may have squandered your life up to this point, but God says, come to me. You want to make your life extraordinary? Start right now. When I leave here, I live in Edmond. When I leave here, I'm going to start from that parking lot out there. That sounds real obvious to you. In your life, to make your life extraordinary is going to take one thing for sure, and that's for you to take the first step. I don't know what that is for you tonight. Maybe that's trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time. Maybe it's coming back to Him. Maybe it's giving Him control of your life. Maybe it's saying, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to let fear grab it. I'm not going to let fear hold me down. I'm going to go for it. Make your life extraordinary. Father, thank You that with Your help, we can do that. In Jesus' name, help these students, Lord, to know You and to grab for the opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen.